Have you ever been to the airport and they've asked you to go through those scanners and put your hands up and take naked body pictures of you and all that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to opt out, say, hey, I'm opting out, all that? Well, at one point in our country's history, not that long ago, there were no scanners. After an incident on a flight in about 2009, somewhere about there, well, the incident was 2009. Right after that is when the push really started. Supposedly someone came on a plane, an underwear bomber, and if we would have that scanner, we could have prevented it. Can you imagine for one second if our next guest wasn't there, what didn't pay attention and wasn't vocal and out there and who he is and be able to tell this story? Can you imagine how much this whole thing would have just got whitewashed and thrown right under the rug? Our next guest is Kurt Haskell. He's a retired trial attorney. He graduated from Thomas Cooley Law School in 1999. On Christmas Day 2009, he did exactly see that. And, of course, he's been doing many things since then. He even ran for Congress. We might talk about that. Many investigations he's done. He has completed. We're very happy to have him on. Kurt, welcome to the Power Hour.
Hey, thanks. Good to be back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that situation for people who may not know you or may not, you know, so many things have happened since then. Gosh, it seems like 50 years ago, but it was only not even a decade ago. Talk about that day. What happened?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost to the 10 year anniversary. It's hard to believe. My wife and I were flying back to Detroit from an African safari. We had a connecting flight in Amsterdam, and there weren't any open seats. It was Christmas Day, and people had a lot of packages and coats they were putting on the seats. So we sat on the floor by the gate, and I saw a man in a suit walk with what looked like a poor African kid, and walking together, and I thought they were a weird couple, and I just kind of watched to see what they were doing. And they went and talked to a girl at the counter, and just the man in the suit talked, and he said, referring to the African kid, younger man, and he said, this man needs to board the plane, but he doesn't have a passport. And then the girl at the counter said, well, he can't get on then. And they kind of argued. And then the man in the suit said, well, he's from Sudan. We do this all the time. And then the girl picked up the phone and called back to the manager's office. And then she sent the two of them down the hallway to talk to the manager. And they walked down a secure hallway together. And that's just when I quit watching, not thinking anything of it at the time, thinking the African guy's not going to get on the plane. Well, little did I know that 8 hours later, as our descent into Detroit is starting, that this same African guy would try and detonate a bomb in his pants and blow up our plane. And he became known as the underwear bomber because he had the bomb in his underwear. So, you know, I didn't even realize it was the same guy until we landed and police came on the plane and they escorted him off. And when they're escorting him off, he stood in the doorway for a little while, and I got a clear look at him then. And that's when I realized it was the same guy that I had seen in Amsterdam that had been denied boarding. So,
what went through your mind, Kurt? Kurt, what went through your mind when you finally realized, hey, well, that's the same guy that I saw had no passport getting on the plane? I mean, what went through your...
It was a holy cow moment. I turned to my wife and I said, holy cow, that's the guy I saw in Amsterdam. And she said, what are you talking about? Because I didn't even tell her what I had seen in Amsterdam because it was such a nothing event. And I said, that guy didn't even have a passport in Amsterdam. And this guy escorted him, you know, and they talked to a manager and then obviously got on the plane. So I thought there was the guy in the suit was an accomplice to this plot. The guy that escorted him in Amsterdam. And I said, well, I'm going to talk to the FBI about it, or the police. But the FBI took over the investigation when we got into the terminal. I told the FBI what I had seen, and they said, we'll be in touch. And I know we don't have a lot of time today. It would take me over an hour to tell this story in complete detail. But anyway, the FBI came to my law office a few days later, and it was strange because I was expecting them to bring security camera footage from the airport, and I would point out what I saw and the people and this, you know, or still pictures or something. They didn't bring any of that, and it was kind of, the meeting was more of them telling me I didn't see what I did, trying to put doubt in my mind, instead of them showing me evidence and having me confirm what I saw. And it was very strange to me. You know, being a lawyer, I was raising red flags with me. So
did you feel, okay, at that moment, you're a lawyer, red flags came up, did you think, oh my gosh, they're in on it too, or somebody told them to basically whitewash my memory here, or what?
Yeah. That's what I thought. That this is not normal, and that they don't want me to speak about what I saw. That's exactly what I thought. And then as time went on, more and more confirmation came out. We had a few days later, the mainstream media came out and said there was no accomplice on any video in the Amsterdam airport. And I knew that was a lie. So at that point, I knew there really was some sort of big cover-up going on for sure. And then a few weeks later, there were hearings in Congress where it was admitted that they knew the underwear bomber was a terrorist and they let him on the plane on purpose. But the reason they gave was a lie. The reason they gave that they let him on the plane on purpose was to track him once he got off the plane in the U.S. That was not the reason. But at least they admitted that they let him on the plane on purpose, which proves my point that he was escorted on without a passport. And it took me a while, took me about 2 years, almost 2 years, to figure out exactly what happened. From early on when I started seeing these weird things, then I started researching it completely. And I put a couple thousand hours of my own time into trying to figure out why this happened to us.
Kurt, before you wrap that up in a bow, I just, one other question. Mm-hmm. You said they admitted that they let him on the plane to track him or whatever. They knew mm-hmm. who he was. They just wanted to track him. Do you think they would have admitted that if it wasn't for you and they knew they couldn't twist your testimony?
That's a good question. I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think probably not.
Because that's kind of what I think.
They had a follow-up a meeting in Congress a week later after that was admitted, and then they kind of tried to soften the testimony to make it seem like they didn't say that the week before. Patrick Kennedy from the State Department was the one that said that. So he came back a week later to kind of soften his words to kind of cover that up. And that video was on the internet for a while, but I don't think it is anymore. I think it's been completely whitewashed from the internet.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but it took me a while to figure out what really did happen. You know, I started going to all the court hearings and I saw strange things going on in the court hearings and things that weren't reported in the media. And I contacted the bomber's standby attorney. He didn't have his own attorney. He was representing himself, but the court appointed a standby helper attorney to help him with paperwork and this sort of thing. So I contacted him and told him what I knew, and we kind of became friends, and we would talk about the case as it progressed, and he would tell me certain things. And he told me, or he didn't tell me, he told the Detroit Free Press at one point that the explosive experts hired by the prosecutors, two of them, both said the bomb was impossibly defective because it lacked a detonator, so it could not have blown no matter what. So that was the final piece of the puzzle for me, knowing that it was a defective bomb. Al-Qaeda, you know, the press was saying the bomber is from Al-Qaeda. Well, Al-Qaeda wouldn't make a bomb and not put a detonator in it. This was planned by an undercover agent to be a defective bomb. Now, why was that needed? Why was a defective bomb needed? Well, the defective bomb was designed to cause a small fire. and not an explosion. And think about it, if you have a defective bomb and there's no fire, no explosion, well, there's no event then. And think about it, if you have a real bomb that blows up the plane, well, then you have a million pieces of a plane and nobody knew where the bomb came from. So you had to have a defective bomb to cause a fire, to cause witnesses to see what happened, to have the media report on this attack, you know, in the air over Detroit. And, of course, the bomb just happened to be a chemical bomb that couldn't be found by metal detectors in the airport. So, consequently, body scanning machines would be needed to find this sort of bomb. This is the event that led to all the body scanning machines in all the airports.
Is it true that Michael Chertoff, I think he was head of the Department of Homeland Security, or he was connected there at this point, mm-hmm. Is it true that he was involved with a company selling all those?
Yes. Yeah, it is true. So, yeah, so you have the former head of Department of Homeland Security now tied in with the body scanning machine manufacturer. So, and that was the reason for this event. Obviously,
wow.
They knew he was a terrorist. It was admitted. So they could have stopped him as he was going to board the plane if that was the goal. That was not the goal. And the goal was not to follow him once he landed in the U.S. either. The goal is to have him board with nobody stopping him at security with this bomb. So I don't believe security agents at the Amsterdam airport knew, except for the one man in the suit. So, and I think... how the security works at the Amsterdam airport is passport check and security are the same line, and they're at the gate. So I think the bomber did not have a passport, so I don't think he went through security either. I think he was rejected right there for not having a passport. So he didn't go through the security part either. He got his escort then, went to the manager's office, and therefore he bypassed security completely so that none of his security agents could have found this powder bomb in his pants. I think that's exactly what happened. Now, I can't say 100%, but I'm pretty darn sure. And obviously this bomb, I shouldn't even use the term bomb, it wasn't a bomb. This firework was given to him by an undercover agent, probably someone posing as an Al-Qaeda bomb maker or something. And he was duped. I believe the bomber was really a terrorist. He thought he was anyway, part of Al-Qaeda, but he was working with U.S. agents that had infiltrated his group. And it was allowed to play out as it was because, you know, to get the body scanning machines in the airports and some other things too, renew the Patriot Act, which was up for renewal, and continue funding the war on terror. Up to this point, there had been no large terror attacks since the shoe bomber in December 2001. So the span of about 8 years, and people in the U.S. were starting to wonder why there was such a huge budget for terrorism, and there was talk about cutting back. So, you know, so you need a new incident. And this was used as a crutch for several years after, you know, whenever anyone asked about, well, you know, maybe we should cut the terrorism budget or this or that. Well, then this was always the response.
Whoa, what about what about that underwear bomber? Look out.
Exactly.
I don't know what your political leaning before this incident was, mm-hmm. or what your perception of the world was politically or, mm-hmm. or anything. After this incident and you getting directly involved with this in some cases, mm-hmm. it had to have changed your outlook on the world dramatically.
Yeah, I did. I did. I don't know. I wouldn't say it changed my opinion politically. I've always kind of been somewhere, I don't know, somewhere between the two parties, maybe more libertarian views. But I would say it woke me up to the corruption that's going on within the U.S. government. And maybe not all of it, but certain elements. And, you know, some people say that you're being red-pilled or something like that. You know, you're awake. Mm-hmm. You know, these are different terms people use. So I would say that was my moment where I went from kind of being in the dark that these sort of things took place to being wide awake that they take place.
What do you know, this happened to you. I know that sometimes things happen to me And I have a different perspective than somebody looking outside will say, oh my gosh, did you see that? Do you know what this means? You know, and you're involved in it. It's like, no, I don't. Now that you maybe you've had some time to go, do you realize how monumental that moment was, not only for you, but for really America, that we know that that happened?
Well, it was monumental for me, no question. It was a life-changing event, and it's the main reason I no longer live in the United States. And it completely changed my outlook on everything. I mean, I saw then after this event, I saw the press is corrupt, the court system is corrupt, the police is corrupt, the federal government is corrupt, on and on and on, all down the line. And I didn't have those views before that. But, you know, and the other thing is, even to this day, people try and, you know, when you talk like this, people don't want to accept it as truth. They want to call you crazy.
Why
or,
not?
You know, a conspiracy nut, a lunatic, you're an Alex Jones fan, all these things. Because they don't want to accept it. They have this view, you know, that everything in the United States is rosy and the U.S. is this outstanding country and the pinnacle of civilization and on and on and on. And they don't want to hear it. But the other part is there's such a propaganda campaign in the U.S. through the media, and it's just bombarding the people in the U.S. day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, with all this propaganda, much of which is fake, and there's an agenda behind much of it. And things like I'm telling you today don't get reported. So it's a real brainwashing system. So people, you know, they would have to reject what they've learned their entire life to accept something like this is true. So it's difficult for a lot of people.
Let's move on. One of our listeners, or a couple of our listeners, they requested you come on because of your work,
okay,
your blog post about the Pulse Knife shooting there outside or in Orlando. Why don't we got about 4 minutes before a break. Let's start getting into that, and then we'll just go
okay,
from there.
Okay, sure. So, can I just get into like how this came about?
Absolutely. Please, the whole thing, anywhere you want to go with it, you
okay,
frame it any way you want to.
Sure. So I had been posting on Facebook for many years about different events and just posting evidence that I thought was suspicious and, you know, tearing apart some of these events that I think were government-sponsored or corrupt, et cetera. And Facebook started banning me, you know, a month at a time. And you know, a month would go by and my account would be restored. And before I could even put up another post, they would ban me for another month from a post I made 3 years ago. You know, and this would go on and on and on and on. And, you know, it got to the point where I was getting sick of it. And I had nowhere to write anything. So I'm like, well, I'm going to create my own blog. So I created KurtHaskell.com. And what I wanted to do is something, I wanted to do something nobody else is doing, which is go to the locations of some of these events in person and investigate on the ground and get a different perspective. So you can get a different perspective than watching something on the television or reading something online if you're there and you're talking to actual people that were there and know things. So I'm like, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to sponsor it myself, and you know, I'll take a producer with me, and he can film, and we'll just put this out on a blog and create videos maybe like once a month, you know, each event we go to, and we'll go a few times a year and you know, film different ones. So anyway, so that was kind of the purpose of this blog, and then just I would write articles about other things in the meantime and post these videos like once a month. So we went to four locations last year. We went to Orlando Pulse, Parkland High School outside Miami, and then we went to the Santa Fe High School, which is near Houston, Texas, and then the church in Sutherland Springs, which is south of San Antonio. And we did four investigations and took video, and the plan was to release a video of our trip and, you know, tell what we think happened after the on-site investigation while considering, you know, what was released in the media and online, et cetera, and taking all in and drawing conclusions. So But there got to be a problem with the video editor. The video editor wasn't doing his job, and he actually has most of the videos now. I don't even have half the videos. So anyway, so month after month after month, video editor wasn't doing anything. So I finally just said, well, I'm going to release the information as blog posts once a month, and then I'm going to go back to the States and I'll film some more, and then I'll have the video in my hands and I'll get a better video editor and this won't happen again. So that was the plan. So I released my report on the Orlando Pulse event the first week of April, with plans to release Parkland in May, Santa Fe in June or July, and Sutherland Springs in June. So your listeners asked me to come on and talk about the Orlando Pulse report because that's the only one that I actually released.
Okay, Kurt, anyway. We want to hear about certainly Orlando and Parkland. We don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. We would love to have you come on again. This is very important. Let me quickly ask you about that video editor. We got about 45 seconds before the break. The video editor, we've heard stories like this before. Oh, I just can't get the thing edited. Oh my gosh, there's one mistake. Yeah. You know, just like bumbling. Do you think that video editor was acting under direction from somebody in the government or somebody somewhere?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, who knows?
See, I've heard, I've heard that a lot, Kurt. Heard that a lot. It is just happened to be that these people, you know, it's happened too many times. I don't believe it. I believe they were secret CIA or some, you know, somebody, I don't know, or getting money. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've just heard it too many times. I don't know that guy from Adam. I'm just asking your opinion.
Sure.
The music is about to start. On the other side, we'll get into, Orlando and then certainly Parkland if we can. Fantastic to talk to you. It's been way too long since we've had you on, Kurt. Thank you for coming on today. More with Kurt Haskell. KurtHaskell.com. On the other side, you're listening to the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as bio-superfood. I've taken bio-superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
If you've never ordered at the Power Mall, or it's been, you know, a lot of years, now's a great time. We got a coupon code for you, first 10 at checkout. Put in first 10 order. We got great return policy. If it doesn't work for you, we got great products, period, that really make a difference. This week specifically, Jason Durkovich will be on from Grown by Nature, the magnesium, potassium, selenium, the multivitamin. I take all of them. The selenium, you know, you want to reduce your cancer risk of death by almost 50%. I mean, proven in studies. This even went to court, and it won. The court upheld that they could put that on the bottle. Take this selenium. Fantastic. And also the full spectrum vitamin E. 10% off Super Silver, one of those things you just got to have. The Toxidine B12, Vegan Safe B12 from Dr. Group. He was on the end of last week talking about those products. Oxy Powder Detox Foot Pads. You want to do something cool? You want to detox? Those foot pads are cool. Check them out. Iron Earth, anything you grow plant-wise. Free shipping on your auto ships for Strauss Heart Drops, for REM Sleep. Check that out. You get to lock in your price, and you get the good discount. And you get to pick. You want it delivered every month or every other month. Fantastic. You can quit at any time. Great deal for you over at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Also, TalkStream Live, people always asking about other phone numbers. You can listen by phone at 701-300-5252, 701-300-5252. Of course, thepowerhour.com, you can listen live there and see our archives. There's also a podcast by phone on TalkStream Live, 641-793-9840. Check it out. ThePowerMall.com, TalkStream Live, there you go. We're talking to Kurt Haskell, who is the, I don't know what you call, infamous, fortunate, I don't know what the word is, but he was at the, he was the right man at the right time to see a very important moment in American history and see through the mirage that is put out there by our media and the events that happen. Events don't change the course of history. The ideas do. And so if you can control the idea of an event, boy, you can really control history. And so what we think happened is not really what happened. And Kurt was there. And he's been investigating a lot of different things. The Orlando shooting, the Pulse nightclub, Parkland. We'll have time to get into a couple of them. You've requested him on to talk about this. Let's talk about Orlando. There's a reason you haven't, released the other things yet, but Orlando's the only one you have released, but that's coming.
Yeah, as I was talking about before the break, so I need to explain this a little bit, because the plan was to release one each month, and I released Pulse in Orlando, and then, I'm sorry, Orlando Pulse in April, and then I was going to release one in May, June, July, and take another trip back to the States and film some more. Okay, that hasn't happened. I haven't posted since the first one, because I've been involved in a very secret project that I've been putting a lot of time into.
Whoa.
And I haven't disclosed publicly what it is, and I still can't. I wish I could, but I can't. But that, my work on the secret project has now led me to probably 99% chance being retained as a defense attorney in one of the most famous cases in the U.S. going on. Right now. So
wow.
I can't talk about that either. But if I said on air which case it was, you would all know which one it was. It's a case you know. So look,
so cut him some slack, ladies and gentlemen.
You'll see the headline. Yes. So I haven't abandoned my blog for no reason. I posted a couple of times that I've been working on a secret project. That's true. It's been continuing for months, and now it's led to this other opportunity I have. So look for an announcement in the mainstream media that I'm taking over a large case, possibly as soon as next week. I can't promise that, though. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. But let's say within the next 3 weeks, and you'll see an announcement. And this will be in the mainstream media. This is a big case. So, and then you'll understand why I haven't been posting on my blog, why I've kind of got sidetracked.
Yeah, we certainly forgive you and are looking forward to when you can. So we wish you nothing but luck of what you're doing. Let's talk about Orlando.
Sure. But just briefly, too, I plan on continuing what I was doing, going on the ground and investigating these with video. But like I said, it's put on hold for the moment. Okay. So Orlando... I went to Orlando last Memorial Weekend, 2018 Memorial Weekend, a little over a year ago. And, you know, I got to Orlando and I thought this Orlando shooting was a complete hoax because I saw the videos on TV, the crisis actors, you know, carrying the mass casualty dummy. Everybody saw that, the guy with the fedora carrying the mass casualty dummy back towards the club while the shooting was still going on, you know, and the all the fake crisis actors giving interviews on TV wearing wigs and sunglasses, you know, and saying, oh, yeah, you know, 10 to 15 of my friends died there. So, you know, all nonchalant. We all saw that. It was very fake, these crisis actors.
It was weird, yeah. It's way weird.
It was weird. Yeah, so, you know, there's no, you know, you couldn't see any legitimate injury that happened, you know, in the middle of the night at like 3 a.m. And we have all these questions about it and no motive. Yeah, I mean, there were motives, but not legit. Anyway, so I'm thinking, this is fake. You know, this can't be. We had, you know, these people in the bathroom saying they're held hostage, but all their stories contradict each other. And then we have this hospital press conference where the people that are claiming they're doctors weren't even doctors in the state of Florida. And, you know, the victim we all saw, Angel Cologne. I mean, come on, she's a gay nightclub, right? But we just happen to see Angel Cologne there, Mr. Heavenly, you know what, Heavenly Rectum, in other words. And, you know, who's the doctor that saved him? Well, it was Dr. Max Loop. I mean, come on. They're laughing in your face with some of these things, right? So anyway, so I went to the Pulse nightclub, and it's still there. They have a wall around it with all, it's like a gay shrine, actually. The people that were actually in Pulse do not appear anywhere on the wall. It's a wall that circles the building. There are thousands of pictures on it. But it's like a gay shrine and anti-gun shrine is kind of how I take it. And there are people there. They all work for Disney, and they give you misinformation. Like, I would talk to some of them, and they would tell me things that I knew were wrong. And, you know, I don't know if they were doing it on a purpose.
What do you mean, Kurt? Kurt. Explain. You mean people that were at the actual site or at the nightclub? Or what do you mean, people you're talking to?
Well, it's the nightclub now. It's still there. And it's like a memorial. And there are people that stand outside of it that work for Disney. They all work for Disney. This is like a
How
side
do you know
job
that?
They do. They all
really?
Have Disney name
How do you
tags
know?
On.
That's
yes.
what, is that what they told you? That's what they told you?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And they all have Disney name tags
wow.
on. So,
oh
and they
gosh.
Give you, everything they tell you is misinformation. And some of the things I knew was the minute they're telling me. Now, whether they're doing that on purpose or mistake, I don't know. But anyway, it was weird that none of the actual victims' pictures appear anywhere. There, you know, there is one spot where all their names are, but why don't their pictures appear anywhere? It turned into like anti-gun and like a gay shrine. This is kind of how I see it. Anyway, it was kind of weird. So I went there, and then I started going to the gay nightclubs to try and meet people that were at Pulse when it happened. And I met some, and it became obvious pretty quickly that they're all very traumatized, very. This was about 2 years after it happened, and these people could hardly even talk about it, and they're so upset still. And, you know, seeing their friends killed in front of them and, you know, they just start choking up as soon as you mention it. So it became obvious to me that people really were killed there, that these people weren't faking it. But there are a lot of problems I soon discovered. Like the people I was talking to were not the people that appeared on TV. It seemed like these were a different group. And the people on TV, the Angel Colognes, the Patience Carter, and people like that, Christopher Hansen, these people didn't have the trauma that the people I was talking to did. It's like there were two groups here, two different ones, the ones that were on TV and then the ones that I was talking to. So, you know, I started to think things are really weird here, and they were. And then I met an insider, and I can't say much about this person either, and I wish I could. But I can't. I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So if I say anything, I can get sued myself over disclosing anything. But the insider has access to certain information of how this went down that the public does not have. And the insider gave me the information, and most of it was in line with what my thinking was on what happened here. Some of it was slightly different, but we're pretty much on the same page. And again, I can't tell you what information I got or who it's from.
All right, let me ask you this.
Let
me ask you this, Kurt. Let me ask you this way.
Yes.
You know, what did you think, you know, not regardless of the information you received, what did you think happened there? Let's just ask you that.
When I got to Orlando, I thought it was a completely fake event to push gun control and to stir up the gay and Latin. It was gay. It was Latin night at a gay club when the shooting happened. So Hispanic or Latin people and gay people, it was to stir them up to support gun control for the upcoming election. Remember, this was June 2016, so we had the presidential election coming 5 months, not even 5 months later.
Yeah.
So it was a political ploy of sorts. And remember, this was put on by corrupt elements within the FBI. These are the same FBI that would soon wiretap President Trump and set up this whole fake Russian collusion nonsense. These are the same people. They're corrupt people working for Hillary Clinton. So this is why, and this is why you don't see the victims at the wall around Pulse nightclub. Now, it's not meant to be about the victims. It's meant to be a gay and Hispanic anti-gun monument. That was the goal of this event. Now, what I learned was it was originally scheduled to happen at one of the Disney properties, but Orlando Mateen, the shooter, went there and he got spooked because he saw Orlando police there and they were watching him. So he left. It was supposed to be a massacre of little kids at Disney.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And that would support anti-gun, what do I want to say?
Legislation, propaganda.
Legislation,
yeah, the whole
votes,
thing.
Push them towards the Democratic Party. Kind of like Sandy Hook, part two. That's what it was supposed to be. But he got spooked there, so they went to Plan B. And this is why you see the crisis actors that were very poor in this event. They're very fake, obvious fakes, because they were preparing for Plan A, which was a shooting at Disney. They got Plan B, shooting at a gay nightclub on Hispanic night.
All right, Kurt, let me stop you right there real quick. We got about 12 minutes. Let me try to summarize here for a second. You confirm or correct where I'm at. So from your research, what you saw, this shooting, it was calculated, planned by elements within the FBI that this was going to be used as a mass mind control to get sympathy towards the gay community and towards against guns. It was meant to begin against little children to be targeted on guns. It went to this nightclub, this gay nightclub in Orlando. People were killed. You feel like people were killed. Something did happen.
Yes.
But then the control of the information around it, everything around it, was orchestrated to have a certain effect about it, and it was very sloppily done. Would all that be accurate?
Yes. This was a mass casualty drill, and this is why we had crisis actors present, because it was pre-planned, and that's what the Orlando Police Department thought it was. Now, remember, Orlando police sat outside Pulse nightclub for 4 hours while they heard shooting inside and did not go in. They did not go in because they thought it was a mass casualty drill where there was nobody actually getting shot.
Whoa.
So, but they didn't know what they didn't know was that the FBI.
Let me pause, Kurt, let me pause you right there. Did you talk to some of the police there? Did they tell you that? I mean, where are you getting that from?
No, I have information from an insider and I have my own research.
See.
It's a combination.
Okay, so
of
you
everything.
Have a source. This isn't okay. Uh-huh. It's not just you speculating. You have a reason to believe that.
I can't tell you what I got from my source. Some of it's from me investigating. Some of it's online.
Okay,
some of it's TV.
But you have
some
a reason
from
to believe
my source.
That.
I have reason to believe this. Yes. So, the Orlando Police Department thought it was a drill, so that's why they stood outside for 4 hours. Then, the FBI comes out with a report that says nobody was actually shot until the bathroom was breached at 5 a.m. when Omar Mateen was killed. Remember, he was hiding in the bathroom, supposedly, the hostages, till 5 a.m. But Orlando Mateen was killed by a close-range gunshot from the police. So he was executed. They made up this story about him having a bomb on himself. So they had reason to go up and execute him at close range because he was wounded, but he was still alive from the gunfire.
Wow.
But he needs to be silenced because he could have spilled the beans on what really happened. Now, the FBI came out and said nobody was shot until 5 a.m. The reason they did that was because the Orlando police were getting sued left and right. By the families of the people that were shot inside because of their inaction for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yes, their stand down. So the FBI comes out covering the Orlando police's butt because it was the FBI that put in the live shooter into this drill. So they cover the Orlando police's butt and they say, oh, no, nobody was shot here till 5 a.m. when the bathroom was breached. So. That's the gist of what happened at Orlando Pulse. It was very, very corrupt. Very corrupt.
All right, Kurt, how am I supposed to take this?
People were massacred there.
Kurt, how am I supposed to take this? If I'm listening, I'm a listener. Maybe this is the first time I'm hearing some of this information, or maybe I'm surprised. I mean, am I supposed to believe in anything that goes on in the media? I mean, this is crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. But remember, these are the same people, the FBI people, that worked with Hillary Clinton to take down a sitting president in this Russian collusion hoax, Donald Trump. But you can't put anything past them. It's the same people. This is James Comey's FBI. They're a corrupt core.
Let me ask you about Parkland. What was the date on Parkland? When did Parkland happen, before Orlando or after Orlando? I get them mixed up.
No. Orlando was June 2016, and Parkland was Valentine's Day 2018.
Oh, jeez, I'm way off. See, I'm getting all. See, there's so many of these things. I get them all mixed up.
Yeah,
I get them totally mixed up. Anyway, Parkland. We got about, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. Obviously, we can't do it justice, but just the highlights of this.
Yeah.
Parkland.
Okay. So I'll try and say what I can. I haven't released my report on this one. I was about to, like I said earlier, but then I got involved in this other project. And I had my report all written, and got it ready to release. And then I heard from my insider again, the same one that I talked to about Pulse, right? And just out of the blue, because I talked to him when we talked about Pulse, and he said he had no information on Parkland at all. But out of the blue, he contacts me and says, I have information on Parkland. I'm like, well, this is a coincidence. I just wrote my report on it like a day before. So anyway, I hadn't released my report yet, though. But the information he gave me this time is very much at odds with my report. So I'm still trying to digest what really went on there. I'm still not sure because, when I went to Parkland, I'll just say this. When I went to Parkland, I met one of the deceased kids, so-called deceased, that was killed at school.
Kurt, did you just say you met one of the supposedly deceased kids?
Yes, okay. I did.
Oh my gosh.
I met one of them.
Okay.
And this was a person I was very suspicious of because his story was very propagandized in the media, and I just didn't believe it. I'm like, no, this is fake. All this BS about this guy and yada yada yada.
Kurt, what did he think?
I went and hunted him down.
Kurt, hold on.
I went there to hunt him down specifically.
Yeah, when you talk to him and he says, "Did you say they said that you died, don't you?" Did you say that to him?
No, I didn't bring anything up. I brought up nothing. I didn't tell him who I was, what I knew, nothing. I just verified who he was and his name and his parents, etc., all checked out with this dead kid. Okay. So the problem, and I came, I had some other information I got there when I was on the scene at Parkland about some of the other victims, maybe not getting killed, okay? But now I talked to my insider, and I have different information that, according to my insider, people were really killed, but there was more than one shooter. So this is what I get from my insider. So I'm trying to put both of these together.
That's what I've heard, just so you know.
And I'm still at odds. Because how do I justify this? And I still to this day, I'm racking my brain on how to put the two together. Because with the Orlando Pulse event, we're pretty close, what he told me and what I had found. But this one, we're not. This one, we're not at all. So I honestly can't say what happened at Parkland. Okay. Yeah.
I was told there were two shooters, or at least two.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got literally 2-3 minutes. There's no question that no matter what happened at Parkland after it, you talk about whatever was organized around the Orlando shooting, this was that times about 150. I mean, it was organized. It was measured out. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they were using that to get rid of guns. There's no question. No matter what happened there, that's why it was weaponized.
Yes. And then these same Parkland kids are tied to several other events. You know, they just happened to appear in Jacksonville before the video game shooting there.
Wow.
They just happened to travel to Christchurch, New Zealand before the massacre out there.
What?
And I think there was another one too. They were tied to, there's another one. It's escaping my mind though. Three of them. The Parkland kids. It's like wherever they go, then a shooting will soon happen. It's like they're the Grim Reaper or something. I don't know. But yeah, it was heavily propagandized again. And again, it was in an election year. And this was, it was an attempt to create a platform for an anti-gun platform for the Democratic Party for the 2018 election. It failed miserably. They even tried to follow it up with the Santa Fe shooting outside of Houston. That one really failed miserably because the people around Santa Fe just weren't buying what the media was selling on that one and did not even want to participate in any kind of anti-gun rhetoric, unlike the people in Parkland that are very
much about a minute and a half.
They're very much for
we got about a minute and a half.
The people in Parkland. Okay.
Two questions. Do you think that Americans will ever give up their guns, no matter what? You obviously think that outside forces are manipulating unorganic events here. Do you think we ever will? Two, the censorship that's going on and the ability to even us to be able to talk on the internet is coming into question with all the censorship. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it seems to be that the younger generations do support some kind of gun control. And they do support censorship on the internet, you know, with all this hate speech and all this propagandizing that. So, you know, when these people get older, I could definitely see a shift in that direction.
Wow. Kurt Haskell, KurtHaskell.com. Absolute pleasure to talk to you. I wish you luck in your new secret assignment. I look forward to talking to you again when you're ready to talk. Just a real pleasure talking to you. Very nice to have you on. God bless you and God keep you, my friend.
Sure. Glad to be on.
Yes, yes. Very much. Wow, what an interview. What a great what a great story with Kurt. Wow, what does that mean? The ramification for that. I'm going to have to ponder this. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.